Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Indian Oil Corporation Limited 2Q Results Conference Call, hosted by Antique Stock Broking Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Varatharajan. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Swapnali. Very good afternoon, everyone. At the outset, I would like to welcome all the participants and the top management of Indian Oil Corporation to this 2Q results call. We have with us Mr. Anuj Jain, Director of Finance, Mr. Nitin Kumar, CGM, IC Corporate Finance and Treasury, Mr. Pramod Jain, CGM Treasury, Mr. Prabhat Himatsingka, CGM Finance and Treasury. I'd like to hand over the call to Mr. Anuj Jain for his opening remarks, and we'll then move on to the Q&A.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Varatharajan. Dear investors and analysts, a very good afternoon to all of you and warm greetings for the festival season. I take this opportunity to welcome all of you to the conference call organized by us, post-announcement of the second quarterly results of financial year 2025-2026. I thank each one of you for joining the call. I trust you have had an opportunity to review the results we have posted on our website, exchanges, and the updates that have been shared with most of you. In today's call, we would like to walk you through our performance for the quarter gone by, provide some insights on the broader macroeconomic context, and also share with you the strategic initiatives we are pursuing to strengthen our position as India's largest energy company. Let me start with our quarterly performance. This quarter, we have registered a profit after tax of rupees 7,610 crore, higher than the preceding quarter, which was rupees 5,689 crore. From a half-year perspective, the PAT is rupees 13,299 crore, as against rupees 2,823 crore in H1 financial year 2025. Revenue from operations during this quarter stood at 202,992 crore, as against rupees 218,608 crore in the preceding quarter of this year. The above-normal rainfall in the country has impacted the sales volume for the quarter. The revenues for the corresponding quarter of FY25 was rupees 195,149 crore. On 8 August 2025, the Union Cabinet approved compensation of rupees 30,000 crore to the three public sector OMCs for under-recoveries incurred on sale of domestic LPG. As per communication received from MoPNG, IOC share in the compensation is rupees 144,86 crore. The compensation amount will be disbursed in 12 monthly installments of rupees 1,207 crore starting November 2025. Accordingly, revenue to the extent of accrual on monthly basis will be recognized in the relevant periods. The strategic initiative of Project Sprint has started showing improvements, with green shoots visible in operational and financial performances. Now, for the operational and financial highlights, I will request my colleague, Shri Nitin Kumar, CGM in charge, CFN Treasury, to brief you. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Kindly note that today's discussion may include forward-looking statements, which are based on currently available information, assumptions, and expectations, and are subject to uncertainties that could cause actual results, performance, or achievements to differ materially from those expressed or implied. Participants are advised to refer to the company's latest filings with regulatory authorities for a more detailed discussion on the risks and uncertainties. The past quarter has witnessed important developments both globally and domestically. On the global monetary front, the U.S. Fed delivered its first rate cut of 25 basis points for the year, bringing the rate down to the range of 4%-4.25%. The Fed's updated projections signal the possibility of further reductions in 2025, underscoring a shift from a primarily inflation-fighting stance to growth and labor market support. In India, the Reserve Bank of India held its policy repo rate steady at 5.5%, maintaining a neutral stance as the impact of earlier cuts continued to play out. On the growth front, IMF raised India's 25-26 GDP growth forecast to 6.6% from 6.4%, following a strong 7.8% growth in Q1 of financial year 26. For Indian oil, the past few months have been particularly significant. On 20th September 2025, Prime Minister Narendra Modi inaugurated Indian oils, acrylics and oxo alcohol plant at Vadodara's Gujarat refinery, boosting India's drive for petrochemical self-reliance using propylene to make high-value products. We started trials of IndiCOP2F technology at Digboi refinery, converting waste plastics like PP, PEPP and multi-layer packaging into fuels, showcasing our sustainable and scalable innovation. Our Paradeep refinery commissioned a new hydrogen generation unit, enhancing cleaner fuel production and supporting energy efficiency and sustainability goals. S&P Global has assigned Indian Oil a BBB long-term rating, equivalent to India's sovereign rating. This follows S&P's recent upgrade of India's sovereign rating and reflects our strong financial fundamentals, disciplined capital management, and resilient performance amid a volatile global environment. Now let me briefly touch upon the quarterly performance highlight. Talking about the numbers, the average price of crude, Indian basket, during this quarter witnessed an increase of about 4.2% from the immediately preceding quarter, that is Q1 of financial year 25-26. The increase in crude oil prices quarter on quarter is largely due to geopolitical risks and stockpiling by China. Accelerated unwinding of production cuts by OPEC Plus helped in keeping the increments in limits. With respect to the crack spreads, while HSD cracks improved during Q2 of 25-26, MS cracks were lower than the previous quarter. In the petrochemical space, the spreads of key products continue to remain at subdued levels due to weak global demand growth, new capacity additions, and volatile feedstock prices. Now let me briefly touch upon the major verticals, refineries. The reported GRM of $10.66 per barrel during this quarter is higher than the previous quarter. The normalized GRM for this quarter at $8.9 per barrel has also outperformed the previous quarter of $6.91 per barrel. The increase in GRM is attributable to higher product crack spread of HSD during the quarter. The throughput during the quarter was at 17.6 MMT with a capacity utilization of 99.5% in comparison to throughput of 18.7 MMT and capacity utilization of 106.7% during Q1 of financial year 25-26. Pipeline. The capacity utilization was about 67% during this quarter as compared to 74% in the previous quarter. Pipeline throughput during Q2 of 25-26 is 24.1 MMT vis-a-vis 26.3 million metric ton during Q1 of 25-26. The Gujarat refinery shutdown has impacted the refinery and pipeline throughput for this quarter. Marketing. Total product sales during the quarter was 24.262 MMT as compared to the sale of 26.32 MMT during the previous quarter, that is Q1 of 25-26. We know that the oil and gas sector is sensitive to seasonality, and the above normal rainfall during this monsoon in India has impacted the volumes of major products in the quarter. However, with the strong and sustained demand for petroleum products across the country, we expect a significant improvement in our performance in Q3 and Q4, positioning us for a stronger finish to the year. On half-yearly basis, sales have improved, that is 50.590 MMT in H1 of 25-26 vis-a-vis 48.213 MMT in H1 of financial year 24-25. During Q2 of financial year 25-26, 597 retail outlets were commissioned, taking the total number to 41,263. Our lube business achieved 21% growth in total lube sales and 11% growth in automotive lubes. During H1 of financial year 25-26, our lube market share achieved 9% growth among PSUs and 5% growth among industry. Petrochemicals. The sale of petrochemical products, including exports, during this quarter was 0.77 million MMT as compared to 0.83 MMT in the preceding quarter. Sales for Q2 of financial year 24-25 was 0.77 MMT. On half-yearly basis, petrochemical sales in HY of 25-26 was 1.602 MMT, were more than the sales recorded in H1 of 24-25, which was at 1.517 MMT. Gas. During the year, we registered highest quarterly gas sales of 1.840 MMT, which includes CGD sales of 44 TMT as compared to total gas sales of 1685 TMT. It includes CGD sales of 41 TMT during the preceding quarter. That is Q1 of financial year 25-26. On 1st August 2025, Indian Oil and Trafigura Private Limited signed a confirmation memorandum for the supply of approximately 0.4 MMTPA LNG from July 2025 to December 2029 under Indian Oil's first Henry Hub linked mid-term contract, with the first LNG cargo delivered on 10th August 2025 at the Dahej. Biofuels and renewable energy. During April to September 2025, we have achieved ethanol blending percentage of 19.85% on all India basis, which is slightly higher than the industry blending percentage of 19.83%. The company is working to develop 31 gigawatt of renewable energy by 2030. The same will be achieved through wholly owned green subsidiary Terra Clean Limited and JV company with NTPC Green Energy Limited. We are setting up the country's largest clean hydrogen plant of 10 KTA at Panipat refinery. To promote hydrogen mobility, we have set up India's first hydrogen dispensing station at our R&D center in Faridabad, followed by a station in Gujarat refinery, where field trials on fuel cell buses are being undertaken. Indian Oil has introduced 15 hydrogen fuel cell buses along with Tata Motors Limited for operational testing in Delhi NCR and Gujarat regions. Indian Oil will develop two new hydrogen dispensing stations along Mumbai Pune and Jamshedpur Balasore corridor. We are also undertaking viability study for Hyundai Nexo hydrogen fuel cell electric vehicle FCEV through 2-year real world test. Indian Oil and Air India have signed a memorandum of understanding for the supply of SAF, that is sustainable aviation fuel, from December 2025. Further, with Indian Oil being the only certified company to produce SAF from used cooking oil, a rate contract has been finalized for the supply of treated used cooking oil to enhance SAF blending. Capex. During April to September 2025, the company incurred a total capex of 15,890 crore, encompassing investment across all verticals. The budgeted capex target for the financial year 25-26 is 33,494 crore. These investments are aligned with our long-term strategic roadmap and national energy priorities. Borrowings. With respect to the borrowing levels, the borrowings as on 30th September 2025 has increased by about 6,692 crore and is at 1,28,239 crore level, as compared to rupees 1,21,547 crore as on 30th June 2025. The increase in the borrowing was mainly on account of working capital changes and foreign exchange translation. With the current debt to equity ratio of 0.68 as on 30th September 2025, Indian Oil is comfortably placed to fund the ongoing capex plans. And let me take a pause here and request Director of Finance for his further remarks.
Oh, thank you, Nitin. Despite global volatility, uncertainties and evolving market challenges, Indian Oil stands resilient and future ready. Guided by our unwavering commitment to the nation's energy security and supported by the strong operational capabilities, integrated value chain and an agile workforce, we will continue to power India's growth story. As the country's energy needs expand, we remain firmly focused on ensuring reliable, sustainable and uninterrupted energy supply, while advancing our vision of building a cleaner and more self-reliant energy future for India. I extend my sincere gratitude to our shareholders, employees, partners and all stakeholders for their unwavering trust and support. With this strong foundation, we are confident in our ability to deliver sustainable value and long-term growth even in the face of a dynamic and challenging external environment. Jai Hind, Jai Indian Oil. I will end my briefing here. We will now take your questions. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Probal Sen from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you and good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you for the opportunity. I had a couple of questions. First was with respect to the LPG recognition. I believe the CFO sir mentioned that this will be recognized on accrual basis in revenue just wanted to reconfirm that. It will not be shown as other income, but it will be recognized as revenue. Is that correct?
Yes.
So every month the proportionate installment will be basically booked as revenues on the LPG front, right?
Yes.
So just another follow-up on the same thing. What is the loss per cylinder that we saw in Q2? And what is the loss per cylinder right now, if we can get a sense?
As on date, the loss is around rupees 40 per cylinder.
Okay. And in Q2, sir, what was the number?
Q2, almost it was rupees 100 per cylinder.
Q2 was 100 and it has dropped drastically to about 40 per cylinder right now.
Yes.
Okay. Third question, sir, was on the refining margins, the kind of outperformance that we have seen. Is there a significant amount of Russian crude that is still there in percentage terms? Is it possible to share how much of Russian crude was there in Q2?
In Q2, we have been maintaining somewhere around 18% to 19% in that range in Q2.
And the discount is down to somewhere around $2 to $3. Is that understanding correct?
Discount has been consistent over the past 5-6 months. There is no major
change
in discount levels in the past 5-6 months.
And that's around $2 to $3 a barrel?
Yes.
Okay. So, sir, I just wanted to understand, if we look at the benchmark margins, if you can indulge me for a minute, the calculated margins seem to be a bit lower. So, I mean, just the diesel cracks is actually helping offset negative, discounts for all the other products. Is that what we are really seeing? Or is it refinery efficiency also that's playing out in terms of such a robust GRM performance for this quarter?
See, if you talk about the refining performance, the cracks of HSD has been quite good. If I talk about the HSD cracks, the crack is more than, it was around 10 last year, which has been 14 this year. And the MS also, last year it was 4, now it is almost 6. So the cracks of both MS-HSD, which are the significant portion of our product, they have a very high margins. Coupled with, we have a very good operational performance also. So in all the parameters, I think there was good margins for the refining sector.
Right, so one last question, again a clarification, sir. I couldn't catch the commentary. How much is the LNG supply agreement with Trafigura and what are the terms of that in terms of pricing?
Yeah, just a minute.
Sure.
Yeah, so the term is supply of approximately 0.4 MMTPA, 0.4 MMTPA per annum, right? Of LNG from July 2025 onwards through December 29.
July 25th to December 20th. Thank you so much, sir. I'll come back if I have more questions.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all the participants in the conference call, we request you to kindly limit the questions to per participant. Should you have a follow-up question, Please rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Sumit Rohra from Samsung Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, madam. So firstly, I would like to congratulate you and your entire team at Indian Oil for posting a superb set of results, and also season's greetings for you, though it's a bit too late. So now, firstly, you know, I would like to just touch upon a few things to you as an investor. So today, you know, it is very heartening, you know, to see your presentation sprint. And in that, you know, Indian Oil is about 3% of India's GDP. Now, sir, India, 3% of India's GDP, you know, is nearly 12 lakh crore. Okay. And today, you know, if you look at it from an investor angle, you know, our market cap, you know, is around 2.5 lakh crore. I mean, 2 lakh crore rather, in spite of having an asset base of nearly 5.5 lakh crore. Today, sir, you know, it is a proud fact for India that, you know, about 3.5 crore Indians use the Indian Oil fuel pump on a daily basis. So, I mean, very clearly on one side of the equation, you know, you're doing a fantastic role on energy security of India. The consumers of India are using. But, you know, sir, as an investor or, you know, as being India's national asset, you know, the company is not being valued. I mean, today, you know, having a market cap of barely 2,10,000 crore, you know, is clearly not, you know, is not in the right spectrum of things, because, you know, today our valuation is being valued like a commodity company. But the matter of fact is that you are a consumer company, right? Because 3.5 crore Indians use it. I mean, you are 2% of India's corporate profit. I mean, sir, today India makes about 15 crore and Indian Oil makes about 35,000 crore. But, you know, the matter of fact is that there is some disconnect somewhere, you know, where Indian Oil and rather the oil marketing companies are not getting the valuation which they should get. You know, the matter of fact is that the government of India has also now paid the LPG money, you know, of the 30,000 crore which you highlighted monthly is going to come. You know, so, sir, I mean, the fact of the matter is that, you know, these are very valuable companies, but, you know, somehow the market is, you know, not getting the confidence in the earnings. So I would, sir, you know, request you to please, you know, give the market some confidence on the earnings aspect, because otherwise, you know, a market which trades at 22 PE, there should be absolutely no reason why, you know, not only Indian Oil, but all the, you know, oil marketing companies say that, you know, sub 6 PE with ROEs of 22%, you know. So I would really request you that, you know, the management should, you know, explicitly give market more confidence on earnings, because even the refining cycle is in your favor, crude is in your favor, government of India is in your favor, the company is doing very well, but, you know, somehow the investors are not getting the confidence. So I would only humbly request you, you know, to please give some confidence, because you guys are doing a superb job. I mean, so there's nothing I have to ask you, because, you know, Russian crude, sir, whether it's 15%, 20%, it's all optics, right? Because it's going to move the needle hardly a few crore here or there. So, you know, please give the market confidence is all I request you. I wish you all the best. Good luck and God bless you also. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. I think you have given my answer itself that the four factors, crude is, you know, in the favor. Refining margins are quite good. Government has been quite supportive. Overall ecosystem is quite supportive of the oil and gas sector today. So I think, Sumit, you have already given the positive news, what I wanted to give to the people. And I feel that given the performance we had in Q2 and the other factors what you mentioned, we should have a good profitability for this year. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vivekanand from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. I have two questions. So the first one is an update on the project sprint, especially with respect to the cost saving initiative that you highlighted. If I remember correctly, you had said that you would be able to optimize your costs by around 20%. And you had given some timelines as well. If you could give us an update on that and more granular details of where these cost savings have come and how we should think about the operating costs, say, for FY26 overall and 27, that is question one. My second question is on the Panipat refinery expansion progress. Where does it stand currently? And what is the refinery throughput on a standalone basis that we should assume for fiscal 26 and 27. Thank you very much.
See, I think the project sprint is not only for the revenue expenditure, it is for the capital expenditure as well. What we are doing is to optimize wherever, whether it's capex or revenue, both sides we are trying to optimize. So as far as the specific numbers are concerned, I think we are still, we started our journey from April and it is a 3 years project. So it will not be possible for me to give you a specific number because many expenses in the initial months would have got deferred, which might come in the second half, but I would be sharing that what we are assuming that it should be a very, very positive way of reducing our cost. And but as on date, it will be difficult for me to share any specific number because it's an ongoing year. So the things have been, we are discussing with the teams and teams are working to optimize. But I will say the cost is being optimized not only on retail, it is on LPG, it is on aviation, operations. All the major verticals of Indian Oil, refining pipelines, marketing are working to reduce the cost. What the target has been given is to reduce the cost by 20% of the budgeted numbers. That target has been given, but we all have a budget which are on the higher side. So on and all, I would say maybe by third quarter end, we will be able to give you some specific figures. As far as the Panipat is concerned, we are expecting that the refinery should come on, you know, commissioning by June 26, and the basic capacity is 10 MMTPA. So the first year, generally, we assume that it should give me a 60% throughput of the total capacity. And today, almost 90% physical progress we have already obtained. So in other words, as far as the, as I said, June 26, for that already 90% of the, you know, work has been done. So next now 7-8 months, balance 10% other activities will be done. And in first year, we should expect 60% of the installed capacity.
Right. Thank you so much. Just one follow-up. If you could perhaps give us some sort of guidance on the refinery throughput that we should be budgeting for FY26 and 27, last year it was 71.6 MMTPA. Do you have any rough cut sense in mind, given that there are multiple refinery projects with varying stages of progress? So it would be easy for us to track you and under assess the company's performance thereof.
Okay, just give me 1 minute. I will be able to give you these numbers.
6% of capacity.
So basically what we are seeing that, just 1 minute.
Yeah.
See, normally our capacity utilization remains more than 100%. Okay. So if my installed capacity as far as 25, 26 is concerned, which is going on, because all the commissionings are coming next year. So if I talk about Indian Oil alone, it should be around 72-73 something.
60%
capacity. So my installed capacity is around 72.
72 or
72. Yeah. I am talking about only Indian Oil as a standalone, not including CPC.
72. Right, right. And sir, do you have any thought process in mind as to what the throughput will be for 26 and 27? You can perhaps discuss and maybe revert on this later, no problem.
Okay, but 26, 27 should be higher than by 4 to 5 MMTPA.
Okay, understood. Thank you so much and all the best.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Puneet from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity. My first question is on the petchem side. We haven't seen any material increase in petchem margins per se, but you've been able to demonstrate a nice uptake and return to profitability at EBIT side. Can you talk about the reasons for the same?
Well, I feel we had some shutdown units under shutdown last year, which are now working this year. So as such, our quantum has gone up. But on a whole, I think the petchem margins still remain constrained. we are still seeing that the margins have not improved much, but we hope that in times to come, the petchem margins will also go up.
Okay, but you should think that for the rest of the year, you should be on a positive number for petchem as well.
Yeah, positive numbers are positive. In any case, we have a positive contribution to our EBITDA. Only thing is ki the type of margins we have seen in the past, we are not seeing it today. We earned more than 2,000 crore petchem margin during this 6 months.
Right.
Which was almost 25%, 33% higher than the last year because of the improved margins this year.
Okay. And can you also give us a breakup for your CapEx plan for this year?
See, CapEx, we have always been sharing that our will be approximately 33,000 crores for the FY 25-26. And if you want some major projects, I can share with you.
Yeah, you want major projects are also, major projects are also your CapEx towards renewables, if you can talk about that.
See, you can notice refining would be almost 14,000 crores.
Okay.
And marketing and pipelines put together would be another 10,000 crores. My petchem should be around 2,500 crores. And now coming to specifically what you're asking for my renewable, see, a lot of renewables are going through a joint venture and subsidiary mechanism in our system. So we do equity contribution that. And we expect to contribute almost 2,000 crores in those JVs and subsidiaries this year. In any way, once we give the money to them, there is a JV partner who brings the additional money. Then there would be a debt funding also. So for my Indian Oil book, it should be around 2,000 crores for the financial year 25-26.
Understood. And then there is only one JV, right, with the NTPC, or is there more that you formed?
Oh, we have a subsidiary company called Terra Green, which is 100% like NTPC Green. We have also opened a company.
Correct.
So we are having a big target for that company.
So there is no specific CapEx for Terra Green?
We have a target for Terra Clean itself has a target of 30 gigawatt by 2030. So if you break up each year, they should be commissioning 4 to 5 gigawatt of power. So their targets are very, very different. But since we have started the journey, maybe 1 or 2 years, the activities will go on, but the outcome will not come. But our equity funding will go from our side.
Understood. That's very helpful. Thank you so much. And lastly, if you can, just elaborate a bit more on the GRM side. Other than the better diesel cracks, what else would you attribute your expansion of margin to?
See, predominantly, if this quarter is concerned, it has been a better operational performance also. And it is also due to my better cracks. Refining cracks have been quite good this year. So, and I would also share with you if I have some other thing. See, we have also have more of a, because we sometimes gain on the freight side also. Because we are taking both on a DAP and FOB basis. And sometimes we are taking on DAP basis, that also gives me a positive margin, which was also positive for this quarter.
Okay, and is that sustainable?
See, I told you it is all shipping, freight market is quite volatile.
Okay.
Because we also have our time charter vessels. So it all depends upon the, because when we do a tender, we give open offer, whether you want to give us on FOB basis or delivered basis. So depending upon the optimization of the seller, we get the benefit.
Understood. And lastly, if you can tell what is the crude from Russia for the current quarter so far?
I just shared with you in the beginning itself that it is around 19%.
Okay, so same run rate continues from the previous quarter.
So quarter one was higher.
Yeah.
Now quarter two is slightly down because overall throughput is down. Normally the quarter two throughput is always down because of the rainfall.
And the quarter three, I mean the October...
October has just started. We are still continuing to secure the Russian crude.
Same one. Okay. Fine. That's helpful. Thank you so much and all the best.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Yogesh Patil from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for taking my question, sir. Questions are mostly related to the understanding of the LPG under recoveries and the over recoveries. In our result note, categorically mentioned that LPG compensation will cover the losses till the end of FY26. So whatever under recoveries in the first half of FY26 will be the part of that compensation, and we will not get any separate compensation for the first half of FY26 amount. Is that a correct understanding?
See, what we have been informed that government has as of now given 30,000 crore under recovery for the under recoveries on LPG. So we are still, LPG is a controlled product. Okay, so as of now they are given 30,000, but we continue to get engaged with the government and we will definitely pursue for the under recoveries of the balance amount. Because MOPNG is also maintaining always that it's a continuous account, because now the Saudi CP has come down. So we may not have a huge under recoveries in the next few months. And in the past also we have seen in some months we get an over recovery also. So we will, government will take a situation on a cumulative basis at the end of the financial year 25-26. And then we will see what will be the situation.
So we will have a window to ask them for the FY26 under recoveries if it increases.
Yes, it would be there.
So the windows will be open. Okay.
Yes,
sir,
yes.
Sir, quickly the second question is related to what exactly you mentioned, the Saudi CP has come down and from the next month it is declining 6%. So definitely LPG under recoveries will be nil. Is that a correct understanding from the next month?
No, it won't be nil.
It would be hardly 10-12 rupees, correct?
No, it should be more than that. I think it should be around 25-30 rupees.
Okay, and lastly, suppose from here, from November onwards, if it falls below 10%, 20% again, then the over-recoveries would be there, okay? And in that case, that same over-recoveries can be settled against the under-recoveries of the first half FY26? Can you just clarify?
It's a continuous account. I just said they will see on a cumulative basis. They don't see on month-to-month basis. At the end of the financial year 25-26, they will take a total position, what has been the under-recovery of 24-25, 25-26, what has been given to us, and then they will take a call.
Okay. So, sir, lastly, just let me reframe my question. Suppose after December 2025, we start earning the over-recoveries on the sale of domestic LPG, and that over-recoveries or kind of a profit will be transferred to the buffer account. As you mentioned that this is a running account, buffer account is a running account, and the settlement will be a continuous process. So do we need any kind of a permission from the government to take out that profits or over-recoveries from that buffer account and settle on our historical under-recoveries? Do we need any kind of MOPNG permissions or the government permissions to settle this account?
See, this is the account which is we submit our, all the oil marketing companies submit our figures to the MOPNG. In any case, everything is decided on LPG. See, we understand LPG is a controlled product even today. So everything we have to submit based on our submission, they will take a decision.
Okay, so the ministry and the petroleum ministry and the government will take a decision on that side. Okay, thanks a lot, sir.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Tiwari from Philip Capital India Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity. Sir, my question, first question is with respect to your lubricant division. Can you give us the sales number for the entire first half, your lubricant sales, and what percentage of that was auto sales, and the same for FY25 as well?
Basically, normally we give the total numbers. If you want, I can share with you. See, as far as within the PSU segment, Indian Oil commands 48% market share. Okay. So, you want exact numbers?
Yes, sir. Exact number would be good. If we can have the number for first half and FY25 in terms of what was the total lubricant sale and also what was the automotive component out of it.
I will get it emailed to you. Fine. I will share the details. I can share the market share of Indanol amongst the PSU. We are almost 48%.
Among PSU, you are 48%, you mentioned.
Yeah, normally in the range of 360 metric ton to 430. That is the range what we do. I will give it to you, Anuj. I will send it to you.
Sure, sir. And sir, my second question, sir, sure, sir. I'll connect back with you for the details on email, sir, certainly.
Yeah.
And sir, on the CAPEX guidance front, as you indicated that, like, you know, your annual CAPEX is 34,000 crores. So in light of project sprint, would it be reasonable for us to assume that, like, you know, once you have realized the gains of project sprint, your CAPEX should actually come down by 20%? Would that be a right assessment?
See, there are two parts of the CAPEX. One is the project, big project. Okay. In any case, we don't, that is independent, that is the return phase what we have to spend. But we have also got a maintenance CAPEX what we do. So we have 3,000 retail outlets pan India. So we continuously invest money in the upgradations and those things. And we have so many other refineries, 9 refineries, 20,000 kilometers. So you see the existing size itself demand a lot of maintenance capex on them or replacement capex.
Right.
So what we are trying to do is maximize our capex on the new investments but try to optimize on our existing capacity.
Mm-hmm.
So this is what the strategy
is. So I understood, sir, what percentage of your capex is actually the maintenance capex, if we can have a rough ballpark around that?
So this will be very difficult. See, now if you talk today, a lot of big projects are going on. So that CAPEX percentage would be down. It may be 10 to 15% today. But when the project gets commissioned, okay, and this percentage may go up. It all depends how much CAPEX we are incurring on the new extensions and those things.
So, sir, I'm just trying to get an understanding around what kind of a CAPEX saving we can perhaps see on an ongoing regular basis once your project sprint, optimization, like, you know, materializes.
See, generally, we should be spending 30 to 40,000 crores going forward together, ourselves or with our JVs and subsidiaries, where we put some investments. Together, we should be in the range of 30 to 40,000 crores.
All right, sir, understood. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Vikas Jain from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Hi, Anuji. Sir, thanks for taking my questions. So, two, three questions. First is accounting for this LPG reimbursement.
Yeah.
The government has already promised, given us a schedule of this is how the money is going to come. Doesn't it mean that it gets accrued to us? So shouldn't it be accounted for immediately itself, that it is just getting paid at a delayed way? Like, this is exactly how it used to happen at the time of oil bonds also. There was a promise and then they were paid. So why have we, any particular reason why we have chosen a different kind of accounting, more or less like cash accounting instead of when it gets accrued?
Because see, LPG is a controlled product. And we are guided by the communication received from the ministry. As of now, it has been conveyed to us that the income will be accrued to the company on monthly basis.
Okay.
So, based on the communication we have received, we have to account for whenever the accrual happens to the oil marketing companies.
Okay. So, basically, the payment will be whatever your amount is, 14,500 roughly divided by 12, that's equally paid every month starting November. Is that how you expect it to happen? Is that how it is promised to be paid out?
See, the interpretation is the government will communicate the accrual on accrual basis, whatever is to be given to us, and accordingly we will be doing the accounting. And but the way we see that it should be coming us on monthly basis, the amount which has been informed to all marketing companies.
So it's equally divided through 12 months. That's what you think?
I don't have an exact, but yes, it should be like that.
Okay. So we will only come to know the exact amount for November when it is communicated. right?
See, as of now, you can consider the amount in equal installment, but if it changes, we have to change our accounting thereafter. But as of now, we have also estimated the same amount in our cash flow.
Okay, understood. And in terms of, you know, the other two refinery expansions that you have is Gujarat and Barauni. Like
yeah.
You gave an update on Panipat. Could you just provide a similar kind of an update on them? When is it expected? By when do you think you can, you know, how the ramp up would be to get to full capacity both for the main CDU as well as the upgrader units for there?
See, as far as the expansion in Gujarat is concerned, that is also expected to come in the month of June 26.
Okay.
And Barauni expansion will start commissioning in stages with effect from August 26. So both the commissionings are following in the next financial year.
Okay.
And the physical progress, if I see, generally in our companies, we see how much progress has been made. So in Gujarat refinery, we almost touch 84% physical progress, and in Barauni 88%. So for us, these numbers are very important. So see how much percentage physical progress has been done on the site. Once it reaches 100%, the commissioning activities will commence, and then here and there, a few months, it gets commissioned.
Okay, and should we, as a thumb rule, assume that the first 12 months after commissioning, the utilization of the incremental capacity will be about 60%?
Yeah, this is a standard what most of the, we have been following, 60% first year. And depending upon the successful week, sometimes 80%, sometimes 100% also. Because these are expansion of brownfield. Generally on a greenfield, we consider 60, 80, 100. But since these are expansions, we are expecting 60% first year and trying to improve beyond 80% in the second year.
Okay. And sir, although, you know, that we typically, it gets talked about in terms of CDU utilization, but refining margins only come when upgrader units also ramp up. So for each of these refineries, by when do you think after commissioning, would the real gains of on refining margins be visible? Would it be almost like 4 or 5 quarters plus from the...
It should be much before that, because these are all expansion of our existing refineries.
Okay.
So the way we are configuring it, the movement of primary units are running, because these are all going to be connected with many of our existing units, utilities. So the ramp up should be quite, that is a strategy also to have a brownfield expansion.
Okay.
That is the idea behind that we should be have a quicker, you know, upgradation.
Okay. And sir, other than these three very clear volume expansions that the company is doing in refining, are there any other projects which are in advanced stages at this juncture, either in petchem or in refining, that, and if you could give an update on that in terms of where we are?
Yeah,
and
now we have a major PX-PTF contract at Paradip Refinery, which is costing me almost 14,000 crores. And the commissioning expected in the third quarter of 26-27. And then we have another plant in Panipat, polybutadiene rubber plant, that is a 3,000 crore plant. Here also we are expecting by June 26th that it should get commissioned.
Okay.
And even in PX-PTA, the physical progress is almost 90% now. And in PBR plant at Panipat, the physical progress is now almost 70%. And apart from that, we have, since we have a refining system coming, we are spending on the pipelines from Mundra to Panipat. That is a 10,000 crore project. We are upgrading new refinery, new pipelines. So small, many other CapEx projects are going on. Yeah.
Sure, sir. And just finally...
Sorry to interrupt in between, Mr. Vikas. You may rejoin the queue for the following question.
Sure, okay. Thank you.
A reminder to all the participants that you may restrict the questions one per participant due to time constraint. Moving further, the next question comes from the line of Sabri Hazaraki from Emkay Global Finance Service. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so just two questions, one small one. So firstly, this acrylic plant, you said when was it commissioned?
It was commissioned in the month of July.
And can you give the unit economics of this plant in terms of how much was the capex and what revenue and EBITDA you are building it? Also a realistic revenue and EBITDA given the current cycle.
Okay, just give me 1 minute. Since it got commissioned, I have not kept the figures. Give me 1 minute, sir.
Yeah.
Have you any other question by the time I...
Second question is this Ennore Tuticorin Bangalore pipeline. So this pipeline is completely ready or is there anything pending? Has it been connected to the national grid?
As per my information, it has not been connected.
So Bangalore part is not connected. So it is still stranded only towards Tamil Nadu, right?
Yes.
Okay.
So as far as Oxo Alcoholic project is concerned, it has costed me 6,000 crores.
6,000 crores, okay.
Yeah.
And how much revenue are you thinking of earning from this?
Normally, if you see, any project should give me a return of around 11%. So for your, working, whenever we commission based on my capex, you can build in the revenue of 11% in your working, and generally the ramp up is around 60% in the first year again, and petchem should come to around 80% next year and third year 100%.
11 to 12% project IRR, is that right?
You can keep it 11% as of now because the margins are quite subdued in all the petchem cycle.
Right. So just one small follow-up, which I think the previous participant asked. So right now, if I see the buffer, so your buffer is 26,000 crore, but negative buffer is 26,000 crore. But in Q1, say, you made 3,700 crore loss. In Q2, it was down to 2,100 crore. Suppose in Q3, you make a profit of, say, 500 crore. So that 500 crore will directly accrue to your P&L or it will be zero? And
it will be adjusted against the under recoveries incurred in the past quarter.
So that 500 crore will directly come to your P&L, right?
Suppose 2 quarters we have an under recovery and 3rd quarter we have an over recovery.
Yeah.
When we see the total in cumulative in end of March 26, everything will be clubbed together.
Yeah, so whatever is pending will get accounted in the books at the end of
That we will be asked from the government to give us the compensation.
Right. I am just wondering if there could be a positive impact from that.
The positive comes, it will get adjusted against the past under recoveries suffered.
Yeah, but for that quarter, it will be positive only.
But it will be not taken in my P&L.
It will not be taken in your P&L, right? So it will be zero or negative, but if the compensation comes, then it will come as a separate thing only, and not from here.
Yeah, suppose the over recovery happens, it will be shown as a payable.
Okay, it will be shown as a payable, despite the fact that you have got outstanding. Okay.
Yes.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Amit Muraka from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. Just on inventory loss, could you give the total loss number in the quarter? Or was it a gain if it was a gain?
Yeah. See, I have said that in this quarter two we had a gain, and quarter one we had a loss. On a cumulative basis, we still have an inventory loss.
Could you quantify that? I think Q1 you had mentioned 6,500 crore of loss.
2,300.
So basically, just excuse me, my colleague will be answering this query to you or we will send it to you through your email. Huh? Can you go to the second question because we have to just finish it in a few minutes. We will send it across to you.
Sure. Also on the Russian crude, there was a comment made that you would be complying with the sanctions. So I believe you buy from the spot market, so which do not have a designated source when you buy it like that. So does it mean that you would be avoiding Russian crude completely, given that the spot market do not distinguish between the source of the crude?
No, see, we are not absolutely not going to discontinue as long as we are doing the compliance of the sanctions. Today, from Russia, Russian crude is not sanctioned. It is the entities and the shipping lines which have got sanctioned. So today, somebody comes to me with a non-sanctioned entity, and the cap is being complied with, the shipping and the shipping is okay, then I will continue to buy it.
But do you know the source of the crude when you're buying from the spot markets?
Yes. Certificate of origin is a part of the standard documents being taken for the banking whenever you make the payments.
Okay, got it. Okay. Fine. So as of now, like, there's no, I mean, avoidance of Russian crude, is just that those two entities you would avoid from, essentially.
Apart from these two entities, there have been entities in the past also. So we maintain all the data bank, and when we purchase, we ensure that we comply with all the international sanctions, you know, whatever are applicable on that date.
Okay. No, that's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Maulik Patel from Equities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. Just one question. In the last 3 years, you have bought approximately 2.4 million ton of a medium-term LNG. Two deals, I think you have done on an oil link, one with ADNOC, and I think with Total, I'm not sure. And third, which you have signed recently with 0.4, with Trafigura on HS basis. So of this 2.4 million ton of LNG, which you are going to get, you're going to use it internally on your refineries? And what's basically what you are going to market in a market?
See, we have both the portfolios. We sell it internally also. We sell it to our customers also. So we have a multiple source of buying, and we have a multiple source of selling our LNG.
But is there any strategy that you want to use more of the gas internally? Because the contract which you have signed are significantly lower than the current spot price. Spot is currently at 11. You are getting it in around $12.5 for those crude link volume. So price will be at around $9 somewhere on a DES basis. Will you use more of the gas internally for refinery and the cracking or utilities?
For everything, we have optimization. Suppose in our refinery, we have a demand, and we have a demand from the customer. I will see what is the alternate cost of my fuel if I use it, my own fuel in that system. So if my using my own fuel, I can sell it outside, why not? But if I have a cost, you know, it is all depending upon the cost of your own fuel also in the refining system. So that is a day-to-day work what our teams do. They will always see whether it is more beneficial to sell or it is more beneficial to consume it internally.
Got it. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. I think we can finish it now.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Varatharajan for closing comments.
Thank you, Sapnali. Sir, if you have any closing remarks, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you all. Thank you all for your time and insightful questions. On behalf of the entire IndianOil team, I appreciate your continued trust, confidence, and support. We value our engagement and look forward to future interactions and keeping you updated on our progress. Stay safe and take care. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I wish to thank the IOCL management for giving us the opportunity to host the call, and thank all the participants for taking our time to attend this call. Thanks, everyone. Have a nice day.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of Indian Oil Corporation Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us today, and you may now disconnect your lines.